6:32 the time, Peter Sherman with you, and I want to talk a little bit about a class action lawsuit that comes out of the pandemic and really earlier in the pandemic, so the area of March through maybe April, May, and the particular area where COVID was so much in evidence, and that was basically the long-term care facilities. And so I'm going to read a little bit of a news release that was put out by Thomson Reuters, and then we're going to talk to Stephen Berman, who is a partner there and in charge of this particular lawsuit. So it says Thomson Reuters has issued a class action proceeding claiming $25 million on behalf of residents of Carlingview Manor and their families. Carlingview Manor is a long-term care home owned by Revera Long-Term Care, Inc., located in Ottawa, Ontario, and at least 61 residents at Carlingview Manor have died as a result of contracting COVID-19 and related illnesses. One of the representative plaintiffs is Stephen Hannon. Stephen's father, Roy, was a resident at Carlingview Manor. Roy contracted COVID-19 while residing in a shared bedroom with three other residents at Carlingview Manor and died on May 15, 2020. And Steve Hannon represents family members of the victims who have lost loved ones without given the opportunity to say goodbye as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak at Carlingview Manor. So I'm going to say with that, good morning to you, Stephen Berman.
Good morning, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the program. This is a very tragic turn of events, and it is one of what are ultimately going to be probably a number of lawsuits, not just in Ontario, I've got to say, because long-term care and that particular aspect of the COVID-19, it's a disaster. Took a lot of lives away. I know of one home in Quebec where they lost 200 people. So the class actions are going to be fairly substantial across the country. They're going to look for a lot of money. And I'm interested in the justification for the class action and why you believe this is winnable.
So this is the fourth class action that we've issued at Thomson Reuters. They've all been against individual homes within the for-profit sector. There are a number of issues that we're learning along the way in terms of our investigation of these homes. You know, one of the challenges in terms of these investigations is that the doors have been shut to these facilities for a number of months. So gathering information has been a challenge, and we're hearing from nurses and PSWs within the home who are providing some information. But what we do know about Carlingview Manor and a number of the other facilities that we've been involved in commencing litigation regarding is that there were underlying conditions within these homes that existed prior to the pandemic. And one of the really significant ones with Carlingview Manor and with a number of the hardest hit homes in Ontario is that they shared this outdated design whereby they had residents sharing rooms. And for Carlingview Manor in particular, they had four residents to a room. So our representative plaintiff, Mr. Hannon, for instance, moved into the facility a couple weeks prior to his death and was placed into a room with three other patients, residents. And it goes without saying that that type of design issue would likely increase the risk of the virus. So we think that's a big factor with Carlingview Manor in particular, and it's something that we've seen is consistent with a number of the most affected homes in Ontario.
Okay, so I don't want to seem insensitive. I once upon a time had my late mother in a long-term care home. But the first thing that I looked at, and I was exploring various long-term care homes, was this public or private? It turned out in this particular case it was private. But I looked at the conditions that she was going to live in. And she had her own room because it was decided by the family that we were not going to see her put into a situation where there were three other people in the room. And that was a possibility if we wanted to pay a different price or at that time pay no price at all and live on the public dole. And we couldn't do that to a member of our family. So I think the reason I bring it up is one of the arguments the other side is going to have is, hey, you know, caveat emptor, you looked at this place, you picked it, you put it as probably one of the three on your list, and you got a room there, and you knew damn well you were putting your father in a room with three other people, and unfortunately, we didn't plan COVID-19, he died. That's going to be the argument. What would you say to that?
Well, except for the fact, that's an interesting argument, and I'm sure we'll hear all sorts of things from the for-profit operators and the insurance companies on the other side. The bottom line is when you're talking about residents in a long-term care, in elite long-term care facilities, they're very vulnerable. They're elderly. A lot of them don't have families that can necessarily make decisions for them. The ministry back in 1998 put in place design standards that said these older homes and facilities of this nature, and by the way, this is only one of the issues. There are many others that deal with staffing and design and others, and mm-hmm. we probably don't have enough time to go into all of them. But back in 1998, the ministry put in place design standards that said these older homes should be phased out. And we're now sitting here, you know, over 20 years later, and we have a company like Revera, who over 90% of the beds that they own still happen to have share this this common feature. In fact, of the 32 homes that they own, 30 of them are at this this older, outdated design. So there's a systemic issue there that needs to be addressed. And you know, it's not fair to place the blame on vulnerable seniors. Our representative plaintiff, Mr. Hemming, for instance, had dementia. Wouldn't it be in a position to necessarily make those types of decisions? And there's, of course, you know, funding issues as well. You know, it may be easy for you to say that, or someone else to say that they're able to put their parent into a private facility. But at the end of the day, we need to be protecting these seniors and giving them a quality of life, you know, in their later days. So, you know, I don't have a huge amount of sympathy towards that type of argument. I think the system needs to protect our seniors. And we also know that, you know, as of June 10th, this type of shared residence is no longer permitted for new residents in Ontario. And hopefully that's something that continues beyond the pandemic.
Hey, Stephen, I have no argument, and I don't know who Revera is. I've got no dog in the hunt, and I am sympathetic. I'm just bringing up points of fact that you're going to have to deal with in court, and I think other people who are filing these suits are going to have to deal with in court. One of the other things that your release says, I didn't get this far in it, is this poor man had to die alone, as did so many people, because you couldn't allow visitors into the home. Is that a legal point? I mean, can you make a point out of that in a court of law, and does it have any value? Because frankly, none of us could visit people during that period.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a legal point in itself. I think the bigger point there is the inconsistent information that this family and other families were getting, and that's one of the main complaints and main issues that that we're hearing from families. I mean, with these cases, you know, it's never about compensation. That's not what we're hearing. What we're hearing is concern with respect to how their loved ones were treated, and concern that at the end of the day, there's not going to be accountability. Of course, we know there's going to be a government commission, but are they really going to get to the bottom of what happened in any particular home? And with Mr. Hammond's circumstances, for instance, his family was notified days in advance of his death that he had died. And, you know, that adds a layer of tragedy upon a tragedy when you have a family getting inconsistent information and hearing things that aren't correct and true. And, you know, how that plays into the legal element of, you know, the dollars at the end of the day, well, you know, that's not necessarily what these cases are really about. I mean, compensation is important, but it's not the be-all and end-all in these cases for these families. They want answers as part of a healing process, and they want to know, you know, what happened when the doors were shut to them, and get to the bottom of what happened along with the rest of Ontarians.
Well, look, that's entirely fair. I have one other question for you, because you're dealing with this and obviously will be as it works its way through the courts, and that might be a matter of months, if not years. So the bottom line here is we're now differentiating, and I'm talking about the big we, the population, between private and public homes. Do you think that there's any place for private homes in the province of Ontario?
I personally don't believe that there are. If they are to remain, there should be significant regulation over them in all respects. But, you know, I personally am of the view that this group requires significant protection, and that the private operators who are profit-focused simply aren't able to provide the level of protection and service that they need.
Well, I thank you very much for coming on board this morning. This has been informative, and I wish you well as you move forward with the lawsuit and the other ones you've got going as well.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Stephen Berman, a partner at Thompson Rogers, talking about a lawsuit for $25 million involving one particular resident as the example, but 61 people died at Carlingview Manor as a result of COVID just because of conditions they contend at that particular facility, and things are changing with long-term care, not only in the province of Ontario, but everywhere, because COVID has affected everywhere, and long-term care homes have been some of the most affected venues. I want to talk just for a moment about a situation in California. This has nothing to do with long-term care or anything else. It has to do with the fact that, you know, seasonally, if you're in Florida or the Carolinas, you worry about hurricanes until November. Well, seasonally, if you're in California, you worry about wildfires. And there's a report in California, wildfire burns 10,000 acres in 3 hours as they're evacuating homes. And, you know, I ask a question, and this is naive, I realize, but, hey, I live in Ontario, and I don't know the lay of the land in California other than having visited a few times. Where does all of this land come from to burn every year? Because we go through this every year, and it's thousands and tens of thousands of acres, and every year they go through the same thing. So serious wildfire. This is north of Los Angeles, hundreds of evacuations, growing exponentially in hours. And this is yesterday, so I guess it's still there. And officials said the lake fire, as they're calling it, broke out in mid-afternoon, 3:30 yesterday, Pacific time, grew to 100 acres in size. 3 hours later, fire had burned 10,000 acres, and the fire is burning on federal parklands close to Santa Clarita. If you know your California geography, it sits half an hour north of L.A., and the fire was still 0% contained as the sun went down last night. Don't have any reports on it today. Undoubtedly, we will get some as the day unfolds. I am Peter Sherman. This is Global News Radio, 640 Toronto, and it's time to check traffic, 640 Chopper traffic, and here's Kimberly.
Thanks, Peter. We're just coming up on problems right now in the Brampton area. Rutherford Road is closed for a portion between Queen and Steeles. This is for, a crash investigation. A tractor trailer and motorcycle involved in this here. Gainville Police helping divert traffic. We've also got problems in the Markham area. We've got Steeles heading east of Bayview closed off for an ongoing police investigation and crash cleanup. And in the city, we've got St. Clair closed west of Dufferin for police activity. Moving to the highways, things aren't moving badly at all. Just looking at some daytime roadwork on the westbound QEW through Winston Churchill and the off-ramp to Ford Drive, the left lane's blocked. And along the Toronto-bound QEW on the upside of the Burlington Skyway Bridge, just got a new problem in right now. There's a stalled vehicle, and that's blocking the right lane. Looking for a snack that's packed with goodness? Naturally Delicious Grapes from California are good tasting and good for you. For a whole bunch of healthy, go with Grapes from California. I'm Kimberly Fowler with Global News Radio, 640 Toronto Chopper Traffic.